The reading this morning, we've had one reading, but the second reading is from Luke 12, verse 16 to verse 21. Luke 12, verse 16 to 21. I'll give you a minute to find it, if you are finding it. Don't worry if you're not. Then Jesus told this story. There was a rich man who had some land which grew a good crop. He thought to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to keep all my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and other goods. Then I can say to myself, I have enough food, I have enough good things stored to last for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and enjoy life." But God said to him, "Foolish man, tonight your life will be taken from you. So who will get those things you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for those who store up things for themselves and are not rich towards God." One of the things that Chrissy's story brought home to me this morning, and when I think about what Chris has done and where she's been, is how much we've actually got in this country. I think of this all the time. We're so fortunate, we're so lucky, and yet despite that, we so often moan and complain. And instead of coming to God and thanking him for everything, we moan about some incidental little thing, and we complain about it, and that's what people see. People see Christians that are moaning about little things and complaining about little things in their lives, rather than seeing Christians who are praising God for everything that they've got. I've got somebody I work with, their wife had breast cancer, and he's been going through, and she's been going through all sorts of things for about the last 18 months. And they told her about 6 months ago that the breast cancer had gone. It had gone and she wouldn't need any more therapy, And a couple of months later, she found another lump and went back, and thankfully it was benign, and they removed it and everything is now moving on again. But he said that when he walked out of that surgery, having been told that that was benign and it could be removed and there was nothing to worry about, everything that he saw was that bit brighter and that bit fresher. And all the problems he'd been thinking of, the incidental little problems, just all disappeared. And very often we don't allow ourselves to do that. We don't thank God enough for everything that he's done. Don't know if you've heard of influenza. Have you heard of influenza? I've only had it once, I think. I got influenza once. I had a flu jab this year, so I didn't get it again. It was horrible. Made me really ill. Didn't like it at all. Got a headache. Couldn't lift my head off the pillow. All that sort of thing. And because I'm a man, it was man's influenza, and that's 10 times worse. So all you women won't even know what this influenza's like. Jesus warned about another disease, which we could call affluenza. Affluenza is when you're dependent on your affluence, when you're dependent on what you've got. To be affluent is to have much, but it can be a curse. For the story that Jesus told, it was a curse. God wants to give us richly, but in the right perspective. Our God is good to us. We receive the benefits every single day. We receive the benefits of God's goodness, but we forget the benefactor. We forget the person who's giving it to us. How do you feel when you've done something for someone? Or you've given someone something and they didn't say thank you. We learn it as children, don't we? Say thank you to your auntie for your Christmas present. Ring her up or whatever it is and thank her. If we don't say thank you, the person who's giving it just feels, well, why did I? And very often we do that to God. We get things and we take them for granted and we don't thank the benefactor. The Bible talks about a number of fools on this April Fool's Day. Talks about the unbelieving fool, Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The verse that was quoted by Paul in his story before. The ignorant fool, fools despise wisdom. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The self-righteous fool, Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The mocking fool, Proverbs 14 verse 9. Fools mock at sin. The self-sufficient fool, Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The rich fool that we read about, though fool, this night thy soul will be required. But there's one fool that the Bible talks about that's good, and that's the Christian fool. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake. And that's the only type of fool that we're called to be, the Christian fool. We're told that love of money is the root of all evil. There's a phrase that I read on the internet that I quite liked. It says, there are some things money can buy, for everything else, there's Jesus. It went on to talk about a new card that was being offered. I was in Manchester the other week, and somebody was offering me a Santander 123 card. I'd never heard of this. But she was telling me all these benefits of this card, and the first benefit's this, and the second's this, and the third's this, and it'll be wonderful for you, it'll make you so much money that you'll be untrue, and you'll save your money when you go shopping, and when you buy petrol, and all sorts of things. And she went through all this, and then I said, oh, that sounds really good. Is there a charge for it? Oh, yes, there's a charge for it, she said. £25 a month, but you'll save more than that. Honestly, you'll save more than that if you have it. Only £25 a month. It's nothing. You won't miss it. You'll save a fortune. Worked it out, and I thought, no, I'm not going to save anything. There's another card that, again, is described called, instead of the MasterCard, the Master's card. The card that you get when you believe in Jesus. When you give your life to him, you get the Master's card. The Master's card hasn't got any charges, there's no payments due, it's prepaid, there's no expiration. We couldn't afford this card, we couldn't afford to buy it. The fee for the card is too high, so Jesus had to pay it for us. And we're at the beginning of the week when we remember how Jesus paid for us. When you get the Master's card, your name is written on it in gold. And that card allows you access to heaven, to be with him. And heaven isn't just when we die and go to be with Jesus, it's now. We're already members of the kingdom of heaven as we speak, and yet sometimes we act as though we're not. Sometimes we're not willing to be fools for Christ, even though we're already members of the kingdom of heaven. Don't know about you, but I've got two credit cards, and both of them have got limits on them. Ridiculously high limits in my opinion, but they've got limits on how much I can spend. There's no limit on the Master's card. The Master's card has got very good rates for joy and peace and dependability. And it never expires. My MasterCard has got an expiry date on it, or 1/15 I think it is, so then they'll send me another one. Once you've given your life to Christ, there's no expiration date. That will carry on forever. The bad news, as we heard the other week, is that this offer doesn't last forever. This offer finishes when you die. If you know somebody that hasn't got the Master's card, that hasn't given their life to Christ, the offer will expire when they die. And therefore, you need to tell them about the Master's card. You need to tell them what Jesus has done and why he did it, and what they can do about it, and how they can accept Jesus into their lives. Because if we don't do it, nobody else might. If we look at the man in the parable, his wealth led to his will. And one of the biggest problems with men and women, Christians and non-Christians, is our will, the things that we want to do. If we read in verses 18 and 19, the man says, I will pull down my barns. I will build greater barns. I will store my produce. I will say to my soul, I will eat, drink, and be merry. Where's God in that? God's not there. I will. How often do we say that? I will. And we make decisions about our lives and we leave God out of it. Proverbs 1 verse 32. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Man's wealth leads to man's woe. But God said unto him, the woe of being a fool, the woe of sudden death, the woe of losing it all, the woe of divine judgment. From God's perspective, where the man was so different to where he was from the man's perspective. The man received the benefits but forgot the benefactor. Received everything that God had given him and forgotten who had given him it. How often do we do that? Receive all the benefits that God's giving us and forget that God is the one who's given them. I think the people that have made the biggest impression on me are the ones that give that glory back to God. When you say something to them about how well they're doing or how they've done or whatever, they give that glory back to God and say, honestly, it's not me, it's God. Thank God for what's happening because he is in control. God called the rich man a fool because of his attitude towards God. He never thanked God for anything and he left God out of his life altogether. His attitude towards others, his interest was in things and possessions instead of people. He ignored the second commandment, love your neighbour. Love your neighbour as yourself. There's a story told about the chairman of a community charity. And this chairman called on a notorious miser in the community. Sir, he said to the fundraiser, our records show that despite your wealth, you've never once given to our fund. The miser replied, do your records show that I have an elderly mother who was left penniless when my father died? Fumed the miser. Do your records show that I have a disabled brother who is unable to work? Do your records show I have a widowed sister with small children who can barely make things meet? No, sir, said the embarrassed volunteer. Our records don't show those things. Well, said the miser, if I don't give to any of them, why do you think I'll give to you? Some people keep everything that God has given them to themselves. We've all been given gifts to use for God. And yet sometimes, we've talked about it time and time again at Christmas services, we get that present and we keep it wrapped up. And we don't unwrap it because we're scared we might spoil it. But if we don't unwrap it, what use is it to anybody? The rich fool had a wrong attitude towards God and others. And because of his attitude towards life and money, his thoughts were on retirement and ease. He ignored the fact that one day he'd need others. And he forgot that God was the owner of everything that he'd got. Matthew 6 verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. It's difficult for Christians, because Christians have to live a life where money is there and money is relevant and money is necessary. The Bible's quite clear that as Christians we are stewards. We are stewards of what God has given us, both in terms of what he's given us as gifts and what he's given us in terms of money and possessions. And our view should be that everything that God has given us, we are stewards for. And if God wants to take it and use it somewhere else, then we should allow God to do that. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we view the things that we've got as things that we've got, rather than things that God is lending us, that God has given us for now to look after, but if he needs them, he'll take them. This man also lived with a wrong attitude towards eternity. He lived as though there was no eternity. He lived as though he was going to live forever on earth. So when can we be fools? We can be fools when we do not give the credit to God for things that he has done, when we don't thank him for things that he's done for us. We're fools when we make plans, but we leave God out of them. We don't come to God and say, what do you think? Is this the right direction for me? Is this what you want to do with me in this church? We're fools when we live only for the moment, when we don't bring tomorrow to God and say, God, look after tomorrow. We're fools when we store our treasure in the wrong places. The Bible says that various people are fools. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart. Our heart will fool us if we let it. Our heart will fool us if we don't turn to God and ask God to confirm what our heart is telling us. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. People rely on wisdom. The only thing we can rely on is the word of God and God himself. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what should believers do? Proverbs 9 verse 6, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. We need to realise that God has done a great job in blessing us. We're truly rich. God wants us to be rich in wisdom, so that when we come to the mountaintop and things are really good, it's time to lean on God and realise that he has done this for us. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 10 says, we are fools for Christ's sake. What we need to realise on this Palm Sunday and April Fool's Day is that there's times when we can be fools and it'll rip our lives apart. It'll destroy the work that God wants to do through us because we're being fools in the wrong way. But we also need to realise that we have to take a step to be fools for Christ's sake. And the work that we're doing for him, from the world's perspective, might appear totally foolish. And yet it's what God wants us to be doing. So we need to take it to him and ask him to bless it and us and use us. Amen.